Well, Eric, I have to tell you, I am so excited about this this What's Working Now interview. It is one that we've been trying to get on the books for a long time. I know you are very, very busy, and you are by far one of my favorite members. You are always so gracious. You are always at every event. You're the hardest working networker at every event that I've ever been at that you're attending. And you and I broke bread, which, you know, for an Italian and a Frenchman, you know, you and I are one of each. You know, that was very important. And when I heard about this topic that we're going to talk about, I knew it was going to be a topic that's going to be an outstanding learning environment for our members. And I know you, and I know how much time and energy you put into the preparation of this call. So I'm excited about it. You may also know that if you haven't ever met Eric Duhier, which it's important that you realize it's Duhier, he has the best accent that our members, of all of our members. So, you know, aside from Frank Mirandas, who's Italian, you got the second best accent, which is a French accent. So, Eric, thanks for being part of this week's or this month's What's Working Now call. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule for that.
Well, Nick, the privilege and the honor is for me, and I have to tell you, when you informed me that I'd be one of the guests on one of the GKIC monthly calls, I was like, well, this is something I cannot take casually, and so like the pro athletes, for the last 90 minutes, I've just been not really reviewing notes or preparing what I was going to say, because that's been that I know what I have to say. It's just that I've been getting into the zone, so I could be like at the top of the performance. And one thing I want to tell the listeners, it's important, is that it's true that English is my third language. So second is Spanish. So I have to confess, I've been practicing a lot my French accent to grab the audience attention. And the other thing I want to say, in the spirit of GKIC and a tribute to one of his co-founder, Dan Kennedy, this is, and I want to make it very specific about it, this is a no BS interview. I'm not coming to that interview to self-promote and to plug a company. I do what I do anytime when I'm at an event, when I get into a meeting. First question I ask myself, how can I help? How can I contribute? So today, some people may find things that I'm going to say very basic and say, well, I already knew. Some people have been hearing for a long time, but they're ready to hear it. And hopefully other people are going to say, this is like golden nuggets, and I better dig on them and take advantage.
All right. So let's get into it. So when I heard about the topic, which is the five languages of love and how they could be implemented in the business environment, I know this was a phenomenal TED Talk that you gave at the Genius Network, which is Joe Polish's, group. And the topic intrigued me. I went read the book cover to cover, took the test, had my wife take the test, but I can understand how you apply it to a marriage and to a relationship. But let's talk about how to apply it to business.
Well, yes, this is something that a lot of people make a dichotomy between work and personal. When actually, people most of the time they do business with you. Because it gets personal. And one thing I always say to people, you know, today, if you have, you know, good products, and if you offer good rates and you provide good customer service, you shouldn't brag about it. This is like merely a prerequisite of staying in business these days. So what you have to do if you really want to keep your client, because we all know that we all want more clients, but what mostly we want is keep those same clients longer. You know, we always talk about customer life value. So what's the point of just like doing all that courting and bringing the clients in, and then, you know, we take them for granted. So it's very important if you want a business to thrive and not just survive, you really need to wow your customer and keep them coming back over and over, years after years. And it's true that I realized, well, you know, we're not in the B2B, we're not in the B2C, we're in the H2H, which is the human-to-human business. And I realized that as we have done in our own life, and you too, you know, we went into a very crowded market, you know, where nearly 50% of the planet was a competition when we start dating our wives. You know, it was like grim outlook. Wow, all this competition around. And still we managed to attract and retain the clients for life, you know, which would become the date and then marriage. And so that's where I realized, wow, I read through the book, The Five Love Languages of Dr. Gary Chapman, and I realized, wow, I mean, it's all about connecting with the other, you know. So like, yes, you give me a good rate, you give me a good product, and I'm going to buy it, and so what? And why should I stay with you? And I realized, well, it's not about the feature, the benefits, it's not about the rates. These, yes, of course, they're important, but they're like the mere prerequisite. It's about the connection. And people are going to say, yeah, I know. But actually, you know, I always, you know, I'm not the high-tech guy per se. I know how to use high technology. But people often are kind of misled or misguided by the importance of technology, and they forget about the importance of relationships. And it sounds so basic, but the people who succeed the most are the people who are disciplined and focus on the fundamentals. And I know the fundamentals sometimes are not sexy, but nobody likes discipline, and everybody likes to be a disciple. So I decided I have to be a disciple of love. Got to show example at home, you know, like Zig Ziglar would say, if you want to succeed in business, you have to live every day with a home front advantage. So I decided, you know, if I do that, I took the effort to do it with my wife and my kids, I should do it with my customers too, because if I don't connect with them, well, then I'm going to have no clue what's keeping them up at night, and how do they express love, and how do they receive it, you know? So I started to go around, and not being inquisitive, but really more like benevolent, and asking their colleagues and assistants and mutual connection, how do they express love, you know, and how do they receive and give love, and kind of identify the primary and secondary language and for love. And for the people on the call who maybe haven't read the book, or who don't know about the book, or need a refresher, the five love languages are gifts, word of affirmation or praise, quality time, physical touch, and acts of service. So what's very important is, how do you apply those love languages to your clients? Well, once you have identified those primary and secondary language, once you have done your own research, it's very easy. Once you're armed with those insights, you can just go work applying the specific love language to achieve the maximum connection. Because what's the point? What's the point of applying a love language, which would be gift, to somebody, primary language, which is quality time? So that's very important. It's not just about knowing about the love languages, it's knowing how to apply them. And I'm going to give you a quick few examples, if you allow me.
Yeah. Eric, before we get into that, I just want to kind of repeat the five languages of love for folks, and then I'll go into the examples with you, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the first one is kind of words of affirmation. So using positive words or affirming your love for the other person. And that love is for your customers in this example. The second one is acts of services. So really, you know, coming from a servant leadership or servant mentality to really focus on serving the customer. Receiving gifts or giving gifts, right? So that's one of the third language of love. The fourth one is quality time. So really when you're with somebody, being engaged with that other person. And the fourth, the fifth one and final one is physical touch. So the physical touch of one to another. So so those are the five languages of love. And the book is, because we're going to get calls on that, it's The Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman. So let's go ahead and give those examples that you wanted to give.
And I can hear already the listener, the audience saying, of course, it's French. We're going to talk about love. And
I was thinking of the irony of that. Absolutely. I smile. Yeah,
maybe I'm genetically advantaged. I don't know. But the good news is for the people on the call is that if they want to make their competition irrelevant, once they have heard about how do I apply the love languages, and I'll give you some actually tips or how they could apply them. Because, you know, the point is, yeah, this is great, Eric. Wow, never thought about it. Great. But how do I apply it in my business? You know, it's, at GKIC, you know, I say we because I'm a member for almost 4 years now, and I'm still part of that GKIC family. So I say at GKIC, we are very strong, and correct if I'm wrong, on teaching, but very important on implementing what we've learned.
Right.
And so I want to give some tips after I mentioned that, because I'm telling you, you know, people are going to say, why would this guy, because he's French, would talk about love language and give those examples and he's qualified? I'm just going to give you, because it's important, not just that people think that I'm all talk. I just want to give you an example. I'm in a highly competitive industry where it's ultra transactional. It's called payment processing or merchant services. Well, I've been in this business for 11 years, and I have less than 1% of attrition rate. Attrition rate meaning the client who leaves me. And this is not like pie in the sky. This is actually, I met for this call, I was calculating, while I calculate all the time all those key metrics. But this is an amazing statistic, but it didn't happen randomly by mistake, you know. And when you're going to see how you can apply the five love languages, forget, yes, the rest good, the product's good still, but you're going to see with that, your competition is going to become almost or totally irrelevant. So let me start with the, you said the first was word of affirmation. Well, word of affirmation, you know, is very important. And I apply this through building really good rapport with clients, like expressing my gratitude to them through handwritten notes, or even praising them in front of the colleagues. Because, you know, most of the time, it's not the people that are the ones who can help you, you should praise. Actually, it's the people who are, you know, under the bosses sometimes and never get the recognition and support you a lot in working with you. And, you know, I don't want to use a casual language, but it's not about a sucking up to the client or to the boss. It's about really showing true appreciation and expressing gratitude for the relationship you have with the people. And these written notes and even those verbal gestures are really, really understated and yet so powerful. So this one is really key, because, you know, it relates to one topic that I think you and I are very keen and a good practitioner of, and not to brag, it's the way we live, is gratitude. You know, it's important to express gratitude. We never say enough thank you, and we tend to take sometimes things too much for granted. So the second one you say was act of service. Act of service is like making, by the way, you know, I say I would give tips. So what I'll do is that actually I'm going to tell you, for you in your business, let's say the first love language, which we say, which was word of affirmation. Well, you know, there is a proverb that says brick and stone can break your bones. And I always add, but genuine words of affirmation can increase your client's appreciation. And if you want to create a tighter bond with your client, simply with those words of affirmation, I would say don't overcomplicate it. You know, take the phone. You know that thing that the young people used to take picture and send text. I don't want to look like an all parts, but you know, the phone is also to make a call. And you know, there is nothing better than like right now hearing the vibration of your voice, you know, the energy. So phone calls, of course, email, and something that it kind of disappeared. Actually, hopefully, I hope Allmark or American Greetings will never go out of business, is mailing thank you notes or postcards. You know how it is? I gift you something, but for me, it's very important to give you a card with a message handwritten inside and also a meaning with the card. So people can do that. You see, they don't have to be Eric Douay. They can do that very easily. And the second love language, you see, which was acts of services. Well, you know what? It's very easy to wow your clients by making introduction, opening doors, pulling strings for them. And that's the act of services. And I'm going to give you an example of a gentleman, you know, which become a friend. I was a client, become a kind of a client of mine, a partner and a friend. It's Scott, which is a Nashville-based dental business consultant. When he and his wife, I got the wind that he was going to be in New York and Toronto for business. And I said, why don't you come to Montreal, you know, and because I know his wife wanted to travel to Montreal. They have never been. So when I heard that, well, you know, yes, we'll be in Toronto and New York at this time. And yeah, why not we come? And he gave me the date. Well, I arranged for a guided weekend of adventure for them. So, you know, the highlight of the stay was taking care of their accommodation in a boutique hotel presidential suite, a private dinner reservation at the top seafood restaurant, where in both cases were greeted by the owner, and also for a day being their chauffeur and their private guide to bring them through all the beauties that Montreal has to reveal. So whether I was there or not, you know, that was one way of showing an act of service. You know what? I could have told them, look, this is the hotwire.com site. Press on the secret deals, and you should have good deals, you know. And by the way, then go to on TripAdvisor and just type top 10 restaurants in Montreal. And you know what? If you have some time, call me from the Notre Dame Basilica to tell me how much you're enjoying your visit with your wife by yourself, you know. And that's not the way we do it. It's act of services. It's like, I want to show love to that person. And love, again, has different, you know, you can love everybody. It just has to be a different format, a different intensity. You don't love your wife the way you love your kids, the way you love your clients. But it's about those people give you your lifestyle. They give you your lifeline for your business. They should be one of our most important relationships. They should be an extension of family. So that was act of services, which is the second love language. And what I always say to people, and it's my motto, you know, sometimes even on my electronic signature, is that you get to contribute first and give freely without expecting nothing in return, you know. And strangely, the law of reciprocity will take care of it in due time. And I have very specific example, again, to the business owners and entrepreneurs and people who are listening on this interview, is that you can, acts of services can be, and I'm sure people do it, but we got to do it systematically, could be like referring prospects to your clients. It can be giving you expert advice to your clients for a project that you're not even related to your business, that you're not going to charge fees for it, but you have that expertise that your client needs, you know they're on that project, give them. Or it could be like they have an event and you sponsor that client-related event or activity. So things that maybe people do, and if they don't do, they should, because it's part of the act of services and also part of doing good business. So then you said the third one. The third one is gifts. And this one is one of my favorite languages. I prefer to give than to receive. And people have to beware, because people often mistake the physical gift to be the most important aspect, when actually that's the trap to avoid at all costs. Actually, it's the efforts and the care that goes into selecting and giving each gift that will always leave your client beaming. And I'll give you an example, a recent example. I have a hockey-loving client. His name is Kevin. He's a decision maker in the Denver-based company, which is one of my big clients. And last winter, we're just coming out of the winter, so I surprised him, his wife, and his entire executive team with tickets to be my guests at an Avalanche game. So when they arrived at the box, you know, we had rented the box, the food, they found an authentic brick. And it's a pity we don't have a video on this call, but you should see an authentic brick from the Forum, which was the Montreal, for the hockey fans, was the Montreal Canadiens hockey team arena, the original one. And so they have collected bricks now. They have a new center. And it was, and what was great, it was signed by Patrick Roy, which is a Quebecer, but also a Stanley Cup winner, great goalie, and also at that time a coach of the Avalanche. So I give that, and I give a Carey Price, which is the number one goalie in the NHL and goalie for Montreal. And so I give them a Carey Price autographed Canadian jersey. So, of course, when they saw that, for them, because they're big hockey fans, and especially Kevin, those gifts really wow him and wow his wife, because for the personalization, the rare nature, because these things that you cannot just order them on eBay or find them on any like sports shop. And also the way they represented the union between our interests. So this was not just about the gift. It was about what gift I chose, how did I package it, when did I give it. It was a whole experience. And again, for that, for people who on the call, I'm going to give, again, very, very simple tips. Because, again, it's important that you understand the principle of applying love language to your business, but it's also important to see how you can apply it to your own business. So in the love language, which is gifts, it's as easy as, well, depending on, of course, you get to customize according to your client taste, but it can be even tickets, it can be gift cards, it can be books, even autograph books, which is even better. So that could be great. So now the fourth,
Eric, one of the things I just got done interviewing for another call, John Rulin, who owns the company Rulin Group, but his name of his book is Giftology. And in reading that book, it really changed my approach to gifting and all things, you know, really sharing, to get deep with the person. And you are a master of that. You really get deep and you bond with the person. We were talking before we get on this call about a great bottle of wine that you had given me. You know, my wife and I like wine a lot, so you had gifted me that for my birthday. But John Rulin had said, and you did it very, very elegantly in your explanation of the gift for your client. He says you should never put your logo on anything. Right? Because no one is going to take that logoed item and put it on their desk or put it on their mantle or anything like this. But that gift that you gave your client out of Denver was exceptional. I have to kind of share inside baseball. We're in a recording studio inside the GKIC offices, and my producer, Josh, this is the only time he ever got excited about an interview because of the fact that you started talking about hockey. And when you were describing that gift that you gave to your customer, we could actually physically see that in our mind's eye. You did such a nice job with that. So we'll do a video and we'll put a site up, and I'll give everybody that in the outro of where they could go see that present, and you could, you know, show the copy of your gift. So
I can actually send you the pictures, you know.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
You have an idea, and you took it right. Actually, it's funny because John was part of one of the mastermind, not at the same time, but one part of the mastermind led by Darren Hardy's called High Performance Forum. And actually, it's funny because when I look at his book and I say, wow, I should have read that book because I practice it and do it every day. So I guess, you know what, maybe I was too lazy to write the book. Or again,
right.
Sometimes like a lot of people hearing your inside voice, well, you know, somebody already wrote the book about it better than you. And so, but, you know, if I didn't write the book, at least I practice it every day. And thanks to John, people can catch up if they if they're applying the science of gifting.
Oh, you know, but he's a great guy, isn't he, John Rulin? I really enjoyed my time with him. All right, so now we're on to our...
On the fourth language, which is quality time. quality time is also part of my two main love language, because I did the test, of course, because, you know, it's not enough to love my wife. I have to make sure that I didn't love her the way I wanted me to love her, but the way she wanted to be loved. So did the same thing with the client. And, you know, the quality time is very interested, because and I'm going to give you an example. Another client of mine, Chris, which is an Atlanta-based financial consultant. When he came, he actually came down to Montreal because we were negotiating a big contract. And so he said, okay, we negotiated, and he said, I want to come down to check out your operation and finalize, you know, the deal, because it was almost like a NAFTA agreement. You know, we did all the work, and it was just about the signature. So I said, no problem. So he came down, and we spent the day, check operation. He signed the contract, and what happened is that at the end of the day, he didn't know, but I told him, you know what, you have to come with me. And I say, yeah, why? I say, well, you know what, we've developed a lot of intimacy through the phone and by email, and now you came down to finalize. And that was my way of expressing that love language, is that I say, come and join me, join my family. It was in the summer. I say, come and join my family on the dinner cruise. And it was beautiful because it's in Montreal on the Saint Laurent River. So it was a dinner cruise during the international firework competition. So we have that really gourmet dinner, taking the table where you see very well the fireworks, and there was live music. And it was fantastic. And of course, what happened is that we spent the evening getting to know each other. Of course, he wasn't expecting that, because actually this is something I had planned for my wife, my daughters, my mother-in-law. My mother was visiting from France, and I had bought an extra ticket. I said, you know what? I have a good feeling, and we've done a good, great business together. And actually, we're doing. And so when I invited him, of course, he was like, wow, you know, I was like, so happy to meet your family, but a little bit like awkward at the beginning. You know, I thought I was coming to check out something and sign a contract. And we spent the evening getting to know each other, and we really, as we were enjoying also the evening entertainment. And one key, you know, because I don't want people again to say, well, it's nice for you every week, a good time, good boy. But one key, I say all that, you know, I saw that not to brag and not to impress, but to impress upon something very important. And that's what people have to pay attention. And I make a quick parenthesis, you know, Peter Guber was one of the celebrity speakers on one of the GKS events, who was the guy who was the entertainment mogul with Mendeley Entertainment and all the sports team. And when he, in his book, Tell to Win, he said, one of the key factor to my success is that when I'm somewhere, I'm 100% there. So, you know, like in that call, I block all distraction. I have blocked all things. I prepare. You're going to be 100%. That's the, we know as entrepreneur, we all ADD. So, and it's good because sometimes you have like a move, but sometimes you got to be 100%. And I say that why? Because in that love language about quality time, the key here is to create memorable experience, and never use it, really, never. That's the big mistake. Never use that as an extension to your boardroom conversation. You know, you get your boardroom conversation, that's quality time. And sometimes people make that mistake. Yeah, so about that close number 8, you know, no. We had the boardroom time, now it's quality time. So the idea about quality time is to create memorable experience. Remember at the beginning, we talk about emotional connection. Well, the way you're going to have those emotional connection is by creating those memorable experience. So what does that mean for the people who are listening on that call? Well, the quality time, again, you know, most of the time, I tell you, for me, most of the time, what happened outside of the boardroom was always almost as important and sometimes more important than what was discussed in the boardroom. So So it's important again, and you don't have to go crazy, you know, with the budget to create a memorable experience for your client. It's just that do something that you know you like and they're going to like, and it's going to be in sincere sharing, like dinner invitation, sharing a special event, even something that people don't realize, but think about a cause that your client is really keen on. Let's say you know that one of your clients is serving meals for the homeless on the street. Well, just check with them and see why not volunteering together. And so instead of being champagne and foie gras, you know, you can be both together on the street. You're supporting the cause that is dear to your client, and you're both together in jeans, in T-shirt, in the street, serving homeless. And this is volunteering together, and this is also a great quality time, you know. People don't think about it, but I experienced it, and this is fabulous. And the fifth love language, I know people are going to say, okay, here there again, the Frenchman, physical touch. So when I say get a fall in love with your client, of course, this is literal. You know, I know that I have nothing against hugging, you know, your clients, but when I meant, when I say physical touch has nothing to do with the hugging part. The way I interpret physical touch in the love language applied to business, it's what I call the FaceTime, but you know, not the one with the iPhone, the real FaceTime. So that's why I visit my client at least once a year in person, because I just realized that just talking, and I know some people are going to say, okay, I have 300,000 clients, Eric, how do I do that? I understand that also, you know what, there is also the law of the 80-20. So sometimes you have to understand there is some people you meet once a quarter, some you meet once a year, some you meet one every 2 years, you know. You like I said, there is an intensity and a variety of love. But what I do is that, and I realize, is that just by talking through the concern, you know, from the comfort of the office, and us, we have a specific customized scorecard, you know, so with the customized scorecard, they can grade the key aspect of a relationship. And for me, it's very important, because for me, it keeps me accountable, and it keeps the client satisfied. So when I go there, they comfortably install in their office, and we go through that exercise, and they're like, well, thank you for coming. And we say, well, you know, on this point, for 0 to 10, how much would you grade us? 8. And they're happy, because the 8 out of 10 is fantastic. And we're always like, okay, this is great. Thank you very much. What would it take to make it a 10? And you realize sometimes that people are happy, but it's not that they're dissatisfied and they don't say, but there is that little extra thing. Well, no, you're talking, Eric, maybe if you could add that. And this is something that little incremental is just adding a brick to your fortress, you know. And so this is something that people should always think, you know, yes, we have video conferencing, yes, but you know what? There is nothing that beats the personal presence. We in the room, you are in front of your valued client, and you just ask them, what are we doing for you? How are we doing good? How can we do it better? And that people are so grateful for that. So this is something not to be neglected. And again, I always say, you know, it may sound like a cliche, but I always say nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And like I said, nothing beats real interaction and authentic presence. You know, when they feel us engaged, you know, when they see us there, they're really connected and more. And one way, again, for business people to really show the client how much they care about them in that physical touch love language is, well, again, visiting them in their office environment. But then it can be also participating to an event hosted by your client. Or even, you know, if you really have, you're starting to have a closer relationship, it's important. But because, again, remember, when people tell me, Eric, don't take it personal, it's a business decision, I always say, well, I take it personally, because we did business because it's personal. So if you have that kind of relationship, also a physical touch could be showing support in person to a grieving client showing up at the funeral, you know, or the baptism, depending. But, you know, depending on the level of intimacy you have with your client. So this is, for me, this is also important. And again, I want to stress upon the importance that although the many stories I've shared with you today may seem exceptional and may have excited your producer when we talk about hockey, it's possible to create, and I'm sure excited many people on the call, but it's possible to create wow moment on a reasonable budget for your clients. Because you know what? Yes, you know, you could do all that, but by simply connecting with them, by simply listening to them, by simply getting to know them, they're going to feel cared for. And I can tell you, in the end, I can tell you, this is like, I don't have a Harvard, a PhD scientific research to prove it, but I can tell you through empiric experience after, what, now almost 30 years in business, is that it's not the money spent that matters, really. In the end, is the way you make your clients feel. So this is key. You know, people don't say, yeah, but no, this is key. You never forget this fundamental. And that's why many people, many business people dedicate countless hours of their time and attention to courting the prospect, only to lose interest or let the relationship fizzle out after the first transaction. When actually, it's when the first transaction starts that the love relationship, you know, is amplified and get into a new dimension. That's where you have the opportunity to deliver a wow experience, you know, not only from courtship, but up to commitment when the clients start to become loyal to you. And that's vital for business success these days. So what I really, really, really emphasize is that, and I want people on this call to understand, A, it's H2H, human to human. It's about creating an emotional connection. It's about falling in love all over again with your clients, because there are people out there who want your clients, and if you take them for granted, at some point when the timing is right, people will get your clients. So by applying the insights of the five love languages, you can wow your clients, and most importantly, you can make your competition irrelevant, both in courtship and commitment.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was doing some research for this, and we've all heard this stat, but if you take this phrase and stat that I'm going to put in place in relationship to the last 30 minutes that we've just talked about, the number one reason why a customer leaves a business, over 60% of the reason why people leave a business is because they felt the company had a level of indifference or perceived indifference towards doing business with them. I mean, if you think about it, we all know that, right? People leave because of the fact that they think that we don't care about them anymore. We don't show them the love in business like you've just talked about. And I, you know, even in GKC, you know, we hit a, you know, there was a rough spot here a couple of years ago where, you know, people felt it was just transactional. It was just a company. And we really have focused on putting the human interaction back with the customer and really focusing on them and really showing appreciation for our customers and our members. So if you think about it, we all think we lose business for a number of different reasons. But the real reason why we lose business is really because the customer or the prospect felt that we didn't care. You know, it was just, it's that easy. And I think the one thing you glossed over, and I want to talk to you about it, is you said you have less than 1% turnover in your customer base. What is the industry average?
You know, the people, many, a lot of people debate, but some people say, no, it's this and that, but I would say, to be realistic, the number would be between, certainly, depending on the business, because there is some high-risk business where there is a high rotation, but an average could be easily between 15 to 20%.
So the industry average is easily 15 to 20%, and it's probably higher, right? So if we take out, you know, as I said in your introduction.
I'm being conservative, right. So nobody would scold me.
right. As I said in your introduction, you are in probably one of the most competitive industries out there, which is credit card processing. And, I mean, if you think about every business owner on this call, how many calls do you get from a credit card processor that could change their rate, do better, get your money faster? I mean, when I had my business, we would get 1 to 2 calls a day. In 2008, 2009, when everybody was looking for business, we'd get 15 calls a day, right? It was either somebody to redo my website or be my credit card processor. So you are in one of the most competitive industries out there, and you have less than 1% loss rate of customers. I mean, that's huge. And a lot of it is the application of this. The loving of the customers, the five languages of love. And those are, again, our affirmation, acts of service, right? Receiving gifts or giving gifts, really, quality time and physical touch. And I love your position of, hey, I go out of my way in this world of emails, in this world of, I just want to, you know, send an email and maybe a voice broadcast and then I'm good. You make the effort of face-to-face, belly button to belly button, you know, kind of old school, the way we all grew up of being in front of your customers. And I think I also love the fact that you kind of go over a scorecard with them to say, hey, listen, hold me accountable. I want to be better, but I want to make sure that I'm serving you. Because if you didn't do that, just think about, you know, the approach. If you didn't do that, if you just mailed them the scorecard or you just emailed them the scorecard, I mean, it's so sterile of an environment that you really probably get some great feedback from them, how you could service them. And probably it's a great source of referrals, I'm assuming, from you.
Indeed. Well, I mean, I'll be lying if I would not say we mail some scorecard. But I mean, because obviously some few, we don't have chance to see them, and maybe, you know, the smaller client, but
sure.
But I make a point to have seen all my clients, even the smallest ones, so sometimes it takes longer because, of course, there is love, but there is also an economic dimension that if we want to continue applying love, we gotta make sure that we're profitable. So definitively, I would be lying to say that the people who are in the top 20 receive a lot of love, the other people receive love. It's not that we're indifferent. It's just that the love intensity is the same love, but, you know, maybe in smaller package, you know. So I want to be totally transparent about that. I don't want to look like I'm the angel, but what I wanted to say is that if you are true to yourself, you know, because I was thinking at some point, you know, what really makes that 1% difference? You know, what really makes that 1% difference? And I realized two things. It was not about the too much about the skill set, you know, and yes, it's important to have the best sales funnel and the best Facebook campaign and all that. But at some point, if you don't have the proper, and we always come back to that, but it's true. If you don't have the proper mindset, the skill set is wasted tools, you know, because it's about, okay, me, for instance, my motto is care, connect, contribute. I always did that in my life, in business, and at some point, I wanted to hold myself accountable, so I started to put it on my third merchant solution email signature when I was put Eric Douay, care, connect, contribute, because once you put it out there, it's like saying fair merchant solution. It's almost like an oxymoron. You know, your industry is very transactional, not very ethical. You know, we feel that we never know what we're paying. It's not transparent. And you, they're calling you fair and merchant solution. Well, it's exactly the point. No, I have to be held accountable. I don't see many companies called fair justice payment. So the same thing when I put in my signature care, connect, contribute. No, it's a public statement. No, people can hold me accountable. Well, you just said it. You know, it's kind of your brand signature. So you better, you know, you better incarnate it, you know. So I believe that at some point is that you got to know what you stand for, you know, what's your identity, what are you called for, what's your mission, what the difference you want to make, because we all want to succeed, have a good lifestyle, have a good money. And at some point is that when you have succeeded and when you start to make the good money and you realize, okay, what's the next step? And from success, we talked about that once, you and I, you got to go from success to significance. So at some point, yes, I have to have competitive rates. Yes, we need to have 24/7 support in French, English, Spanish, whatever language. Yes, we need to have all that. But I mean, like you said, you know, this is like a vanilla industry. Everybody could get that. The question is that how much do you care about those people? Because most people see credit card processing as a necessary evil. So already you're not like, oh, I was waiting for you, call Eric. Oh, yes. Where have you been in my life? No, it's like, well, I have no choice. I need to accept credit card. I need a processor. So I guess it's the cost of doing business. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be like this. You know, yes, everybody's got to eat. So you sell things, I sell things. We got to make some profit. But it's about caring. So like I'm always surprised when I see a client and they say, so you're not going to tell me that you can beat my rate? I say, why would I use the car salesman approach? I don't even know what's your merchant profile. So why don't we do one like you go to the doctor? Why don't we do an annual checkup and look a little bit where's the damage, where you have cancer, tumors, and good news is it's not terminal with us, so we'll find a cure. And then the annual checkup is what we call a merchant assessment optimizer. And so people would look at it and say, so what we do now? And we don't even force the people. We say, well, you have two choices. You can go back to the doctor who's been poisoning you and tell them to give you the right medicine, or you can change clinic and come to ours and we'll take good care of you and make you healthy, because, you know, a healthy business, it's always good. So it's always about caring. It's like I never calculate, oh, how much money we can make. I'm always like, the money we're going to make is going to be a reflection of ability to serve the person. So it may sound like a little bit like a choir boy, and yeah, these guys sound too good to be true. It's like too candid, but that's exactly, and Nick, you know me now for 4 years. This is how we do business. And maybe the reason, and it's so simple, but maybe the reason why we have, depending on the year, 1% or less than 1% is because maybe we truly care. Then we are experts at what we do. We know the technicity of the job. But first, remember, it's human to human. So we care about the people we serve.
You know, I think it's critical for that. I think it's critical for business development. I think we're losing a lot of human-to-human, or H-to-H, as you called it, interaction in the business world. If you take about this, the five languages of love, and not only for customer acquisition or customer retention or just, you know, the business growth side of the business, but take it to the employee side of the business. And I was thinking about a lot of this in preparing for this email. If you think about it, the number one reason why people leave a company, it's not because of pay, it's because they felt underappreciated. And it's using the five languages of love to keep your employees that you want to keep. There are some employees that you don't want, and so hopefully you move them out. But really helping them apply, you know, giving them more love or showing them more appreciation, not only enforces their desire to continue to work for you, it improves their throughput. Studies show that it improves their throughput. They become better employees. They do more. They have a higher sense of ownership of the business, as well as improves customer service. So not only applying this to the growth side of the business, but really applying it into your human capital side of the business, I think is just a differentiation and something that we all could use to really drive our businesses to the next level. And I think it's something that we don't think about a lot. And you know, coming from, you know, we don't want to have the methodology that employees are transferable and, you know, let's just, they're cogs of the wheel. I really think that culture defines and is competitive advantage, and it moves you to the next level. And I think by doing this and showing appreciation and really, you know, focusing on the EQ really is what this is, the emotional quotient or the emotional intelligence, and really driving that to your staff really will move you to the next level, because, you know, it's all about the customer, and it's all about the employee. You know, as the business owner, make your life easy and really find the best employees that you possibly can and really give them plenty of appreciation.
Yeah, you're right. And just to finish on that is that, you know, I know some people may be disappointed because a lot of people like recipes, formula, you know.
Sure.
If you do X of this and you put it in like this, and now today's like, well, this is maybe fluff, Eric. Well, actually, if you think this is fluff, I don't know how much longer you're going to be in business, how much longer you're going to keep your vendors, your employees, your partners, because actually this is the foundation of any sustainable business. It may sound very basic, very fundamental, but actually this is what you got to do. And you said it very well, in your couple, in your family, in your employees, with your clients. You got to do that, and you see that. I even show love for my supplier. When I come to an event, I always have a gift for Camila or for Shereka or for Vito or for you or for. And this is not like to say, you know, I'd like you to hire me at GKIC, so I do a gift. No, it's like, this is the way I want to push. So this has to be, it's not like, oh, it's a great client, oh, this is my best employee. No, it's like, it's really a way of being, a way of living, and a way of doing business. And that's what's going to differentiate. Again, I said, you can have the best skills, you can have the best hacks, but if you don't have the right attitude, the right mindset, the right life and business philosophy, and the five love languages is really universal. So I definitely encourage people to apply it with the employee, with the vendors, with the business partner, and with the clients.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, it was an eye-opener for business for me. I love using this as a differentiation. You know, I love the Tim Sanders book, you know, Hug is a Differentiation, or Love is a Differentiation, using, you know, really showing appreciation for your customers and your clients, and really, really, really taking that relationship to the next level. And if you think about it, and you go back and you study all the really great GKIC members, and that are really doing really well, they have such a high level of love and admiration for their customers, and really go about out of their way to really service them. That, you know, just the proof is in the pudding. Like you said, a lot of people want a checklist, want a recipe. This is more an esoteric conversation, but it was an important conversation, and I think it's one to stretch us and really allow us to think about it. I also think if you're in a relationship, whatever that relationship is, whether it's a marriage or a partnership or whatever, if both partners take this test, I think it allows you to really interact better. But, you know, because there were some differences of how my wife likes to have the language of love or love shown, and how I do, right? And I want to be a better spouse, better parent. And, you know, if you look at Dr. Chapman's work, it's not just really about, you know, it's applied to businesses, which you've done an elegant job of taking it to that. He does a good job of that. But it's really about interacting with our partner or our loved one or our spouse or our children, right? So, and he takes different languages of how to interact with a teenager. And I have a teenager, so I have two. So I want to know how to interact with them, because they're at a different stage in their life than they were when they were two or five or seven. And then it's even, you know, he has another great book that I know somebody told me about that they loved, is How to Speak to Your Adult Child, right? Because an adult child needs to be interacted with much different than a teenager. So it's a great body of work. It's a great work. You have been gracious with your time. We're coming up to the hour, and I always like to close these things with the last final questions. So the first one is, Eric, what are the best three books that have really changed your thinking about business or marketing?
So I'm going to tell you, I read a lot, and I'm not like yet to the level of people I see there on Audible, and they read with a 3X or 5X. You know, it's still the old guy who read the book because the screen of the Kindle kind of aggress my eyes. So I would put, if you don't mind, because I guess like the after being so much in that renegade marketing, I became a little bit renegade thinking, and I will answer it in a maybe different way that normally people answer. I have what I call the best classic of all time, and then the best most recent books I've read. You know,
perfect.
So for me, the classics, the really best classic of time, and I say that because certainly a lot of people have read it, but the people who haven't read it or maybe should read it again, I think it's great. One, of course, it's Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill. This is like nobody has really, I mean, this is the book like maybe some people have tried to rewrite, but this is like key. If you're in business, you got to have read that book at least once. And sometimes, you know what it says? It's not about reading sometimes 100 books in a year, but sometimes it's reading 100 times the same book and really understand it. So this is one. The other one is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. For me, that was like, that was really like, wow, you know, it really opened my eyes about being more effective. And the third one would be a book from John Maxwell. And you're going to say, well, I mean, those books doesn't really sound too much like marketing books. But actually, you know, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions from John C. Maxwell. And, it's, you know, it's all those books, it's about applying in your marketing every day. Because I can give you like, I feel generous today, so I'll give you an extra bonus. I mean, there is, of course, one video book I read over and over, and I don't say that to win 20 points, is Magnetic Marketing. If someone really starting in business, or want, this is like the foundational, you know, like, who is your audience, how they like to be communicated to, and what medium you're going to use, you know, the famous virtuous marketing triangle, so definitely that is good. But I mean, this is purely marketing. But when you think about those three books I give before, I mean, they are really, when you're a businessman and you're a marketer, that really helps you own your skill. And I could even add the Compound Effect by Darren Hardy, which anybody should read, because it's really a good book about something we neglect, which is the power of the compound effect. So now what I could give now the other books, which are the books I read most recently, actually the book I'm currently reading. One, it's called Negotiating the Non-Negotiable. And it's a little bit about how to resolve your most emotionally charged conflicts. That's by it's called Daniel Shapiro. So this one is really, I read a lot of non-fiction because I guess that's what I prefer. But I also sometimes read some fiction. But right now, this is one. Sometimes I read also many books at the same time. So I read that one. You mentioned that you have two teenagers. Well, I have teenagers and I have a younger daughter. And I'm writing a book right now. It's called Be the Dad She Needs You to Be by Dr. Kevin Lemon. Because we have no idea about the imprint a father can leave in his daughter's life, you know, at every stage. So, and you know what? Again, you say, well, this is a marketing guy. What is he talking? It's because you have to understand, it's about the whole thing. You cannot be a good marketer and suck at home and suck in your relationship. It's a holistic approach. You know, whatever you bring in the business, we were talking about five love languages, whatever you bring in the business, you bring it at home, you bring it in life. You know, there is nothing like life-work balance. It's all integrated, and you have to try to balance it. So this is the third book I really enjoy reading, and I just finished it. It's called Persuasion, and it's not Cialdini, but it's again, it's talking about the subtle art of getting what you want, and it's by Mark Ford, which I had the chance to meet, which is the genius who really created that whole Agora financial publicity planet, and is amazing. Of course, you know, these are the three books I read. Of course, there's many other that sometimes I reread, like Fascinate by Sally Hogshead, or Start with Why of Simon Sinek, or The 80-20 with Perry Marshall. I mean, these are classics that I read over and over and over because I need to be. But the what I call the best classic of all time, that's the one I often refer to, and the one I just finished reading. Actually, some I currently reading at this one, and maybe because it's Nick and I feel generous, I will give you another one that I think everybody should read. It's called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I read, and it was a very eye opener because it's everybody knows it again, but it's about less is more. So, you know, we tend to accumulate, and at some point you have to realize what's the essential, what should I focus on, you know? Maybe less is more. So this is a great book, too. And I'll stop there because then I'm going to disfigurate your question.
Sure, yeah, no. Just to give us that last title again, Less is More. What was the name of the book?
Essentialism.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, great book.
Greg McKeown.
Yep. All right, so this is kind of how I know you're kind of you're into H to H, right? It's just human to human. But we're going to ask the technology question: is there one technology or technologies that you swear by to kind of help you manage your day or manage your relationships or, you know, just in general that you really like?
Okay, I'm gonna do my renegade answer.
Okay.
What comes to my mind, and then I'll give you a more practical answer for the audience. But this is really one I believe in. The best technology I use every day, it's spelled BRAIN. It's my brain.
Okay.
And and I'm gonna tell you, people can say, but you know, Peter Diamandis once says, you know, we have upgraded everything, you know, with all of our electronic devices, and we never upgraded the brain. But if you think about it, nobody, you know, you can have a big IBM machine who's going to beat you at chess all the time because they have accumulated data. But when you think about it, what's the point of having the best CRM? What's the point of having the best sales funnel if you don't know how to make it work, you know? And sometimes it's like, yeah, we could create a sales funnel. But what are you selling? To who are you selling it? What's the outcome you desire? And have you thought about the upsell? Have you thought about the downsell? Have you thought about the recurring? And so now I'm talking about technique. But to get to that technique, you know, you got to think all the time. Think, you know, and no computer can beat the brain. No computer can beat the brain because we have that capacity, not just of accumulating data, but of sorting, strategizing. So I always say that we kind of, you know, I think it's Albert Einstein who said we only use 10% of our brain. It's a little bit like, I'm sure if you have an Android or iPhone, you certainly only use maybe 10% of its capacity. So it's like maybe that divine, amazing, that nobody can beat technology, which is the brain, maybe we should use it less and be less lazy and rely on technology. Technology is there to serve us and not to give us the solution, the answers. So yes, definitively, I believe in systems. I don't think that Tim Ferriss is working 4 hours a week, but one I read from his book, The 4-Hour Work Week, is three words, you know, automate, delegate, eliminate, which means, you know, like, what are we doing right now that we're not doing systematically? So how can we have a process that automate that? Delegate, is it really added value job? Like, I can tell you, I outsource a lot of things. Why should I become from bad to mediocre as something I do when I can focus on my unique ability? So you got to have system in place where, okay, do we have a list of good outsourcing agents? Do we have a system in place to automate things? And eliminate is whatever we do that we could stop doing and nobody will notice, we got to stop. So I'm not going to promote one brand or another, but definitively, if you are in the marketing, I think one key element, and you know it's basic, is the CRM, because sure. You want to manage. You cannot have a brand and remember your 8,000 members names or whatever. So definitively for me, if you're a marketer, you got to think, you got to say, how can I use my brain? Then you got to think systems. And when I think system, if there is one thing, of course, there is the whole technology, but you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that, but these are little constellations that help the marketing planet. But really, I think that if you're in business, you need to know to help in your love language with your clients. I mean, as much as we were talking about H2H, you still need systems. And it's true that if you're in business and you don't have a good CRM, it's going to be difficult for you to be infallible at remembering things and doing things. So I think that definitively CRM is good. And you know what? A lot of people say phone is dead, email is dead. I think that nowadays, even if the open rate of email is sometimes abysmal and sometimes people do things to increase it a little bit, I think that the idea for me about technology is before create the relationship, create the trust, create the bond,
gotcha.
And then use technology to manage the relationship.
Gotcha. All right. So, Eric, you've been gracious with your time. One of the things that we, if people want to reach out to you, learn a little bit more about credit card processing, maybe, you know, hire you on, or just learn more about the language of love in business, how can they reach you?
Yeah, well, the thing, you know, we sometimes in different time zone, we sometimes have different travel schedules. So the best way would be initially to send me an email at eric@fairmerchantsolution. So merchant without an S and solution with an S. So eric@fairmerchantsolutions.com. And they can send me an email and say, I'd like to follow on the conversation about the five love languages, or I need to know more about your business. Well, send me an email and then we'll schedule a private call so we can talk in real and see how I can serve and contribute to the person who want to reach me. So I think best way is email eric@fairmerchantsolutions.com.
All right. Well, Eric, we're bumping up at our time. My producer is getting nervous, and so we're gonna let you go. Thank you, first off, for being a member. Thank you for always being so gracious and with your praise and being just an all around phenomenal guy. You're always one of the biggest joys to be at our events because you're good there. So, Eric, I'm gonna let you run. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to do this, and I look forward to seeing you next time I see you. Take care, Eric.
Yeah, thank you very much again. Have a great day.
Thanks.